Okay, so now we're going to have our Bhagavad Gita class. In page 1 are the introductory invocation prayers, which we can all recite together. And Nandini Radha Devi Dasi, if you come up to this camera, your sister will see you. Can you walk up to this camera and say hello to your sister? And here's your... Oh, so that's right. So very good. You have to put your faces right there. You got to get right... There you go. And she says Hari Bol. Very good. Very good. Excellent. Sydney, yes, Australia. And by the way, Pushpanjali Devi Dasi, Padyavali Devi Dasi commented, heavenly singing. Okay, so we are studying chapter 13 of the Bhagavad Gita. And chapter 13 is the beginning of the third section, because Bhagavad Gita is divided into three sections of 6 chapters each. So we finished chapter 12. So let's do the introductory prayers together on page 1. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunaptan Vitam Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitangscha He Krishna Karana Sindho Dina Bhando Jagatvate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhyaye Bhaja Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasa Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Ma Hare Rama, Rama Rama. So Kamleshji, there's something I'm going to read, and if you'll be so kind as to come to the camera, you'll see why once I read this thing. So could you come in front of the camera? So there's a devotee, a god sister of mine in Mayapur, Devavati. And when I was in Vancouver, let's see if you're... Yes, very good, Kamlesh. When I was in Vancouver, she got a copy or two of the DVD that you did. So look what she just wrote. She just sent me this message. Thank you for posting all the chapters on your website. That's Mark did that. Wonderful. I gave your DVD to Uttama Das, a fruit vendor here in Mayapur, Hari Bol. So, Devavati, this is Kamlesh. He is the one that's responsible for that Bhagavad Gita DVD. Without him, it wouldn't exist. All credit goes to Kamlesh Maharaj. Okay. I wanted Devavati to see who you are. All right. So now we're going to study chapter 13. Now, chapter 13 has many similarities to chapter 2, because chapter 2, which you all know by now, because you have studied it so well. Chapter 2 deals with the soul and its distinction from the body. So now in chapter 13, we're going to hear again about the soul, but we're also going to hear much, much information about the super soul. And one more message from Monica Sharma Kamlesh. She has 3 copies of the DVD, which she must have gotten from Nandini Radha, because I gave her, how many did I give you? 3, and you gave them all to Akshay, so it's now in Australia. Again, I think we should give a nice Hari Bol to Kamlesh for producing the world famous Bhagavad Gita DVD. Hari Bol. All right. So chapter 13, Prabhupada calls nature, the enjoyer, and consciousness. Please repeat. Arjuna uvacha prakritim purusham chaiva kshetram kshetrajñam evacha etad veditum icchami jnanam jnyeyam cha keshava sri bhagavan uvacha idam shariram kaunteya kshetram yabhidiyate etad yoveti tang prahu kshetrajna iti tad vida. So just a reminder, not tomorrow, but a week from tomorrow is the Bhagavad Gita Mahayagya, which will start at 12 noon. And I know Meenakshi Vrajarani will certainly be there, as well as her family. And I'm sure many of you will be there. It is the highlight of the year to participate and stay for the entire recitation of the Bhagavad Gita, because once it's done, it is like you're born again of the Spirit. So you can tell your Christian friends that they don't have a monopoly on being born again of the Spirit. They should come to the Bhagavad Gita and be born again of the Spirit and saved by the Lord. All right, twice born, yes. All right, let's do the synonyms, please repeat. Arjuna uvacha. Arjuna said, prakritim, nature, purusham, the enjoyer, cha, also, eva, certainly, kshetram, the field, kshetrajnam, the knower of the field, eva, certainly, cha, also, etat, all this, veditum, to understand, icchami, I wish, jnanam, knowledge, jnayam, the object of knowledge, cha, also, keshava, O Krishna, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, the personality of Godhead said, idam, this, shariram, body, kaunteya, O son of Kunti, kshetram, the field, iti, thus, abhidiyate, is called, etat, this, ya, one who, veti, knows, tam, he, prahu is called kshetrajna, the knower of the field. Iti, thus, tat vida, by those who know this. So before we go to the translation, couple of things hit me while we were doing the word for word. And that is jnanam and gyayam, knowledge and the object of knowledge. So the object of knowledge is what is what you could say is the determining factor. Because knowledge, you could say in a sense, is neutral. But what you do with that knowledge, the object of that knowledge, that changes the whole thing. For instance, you could have knowledge of technology and science, but you could use that for a good purpose or for a bad purpose. So what is the person's object of their knowledge? Personalities like Hiranyakashipu, Ravana, they had great knowledge, but what were they doing with their knowledge? Hiranyakashipu was torturing the Brahmins and the devotees and killing the cows. Ravana was using his knowledge to build the city, the kingdom of gold, but there was no God consciousness. So the object of knowledge, just like us also, we are studying and learning so many things in these books, but we have to remember what is the object. We're not simply trying to become scholars. The object of our knowledge is to become purified and ultimately with our knowledge develop love of God. We're not in this just so that we can walk around saying, yes, I can quote all 700 slokas of Bhagavad Gita. No. We study these books for two purposes. For our own purification and to be able to preach to others. Both purposes are there. That's why we must study these books, so that we can defend ourselves against the attack of Maya, the attack of ignorance, and also to enlighten others. Preaching. One of the main shlokas. Preaching is the essence of the Krishna consciousness movement. When you first join ISKCON, four things you learn when you walk in the door. Preaching is the essence. Books are the basis of that preaching. Purity is the force. In other words, if you're not pure, you're not going to have any effect with your preaching. And then utility is the principle. Prabhupada was expert on this point. Utility is the principle. Nothing is bad, so-called in the material world. Learn how to use it for Krishna. That's the key. You can learn anything in the material world. Now whatever you've learned, use it to spread Krishna's message. Utilize it. Because if you don't use it, you will lose it. There is a passage in the Krishna book where there is this phrase, the Brahman becomes overcome by the grasses of Maya. If a Brahman has knowledge but doesn't distribute that knowledge, then he becomes covered over by the long grasses of Maya. So whatever knowledge you have of Krishna consciousness, you are meant to distribute it. So we're not here just to become yogis. We're here to become preachers, and it doesn't matter. There's this story. One of the first children in ISKCON was this girl, Saraswati, maybe 4 or 5 years old. So she was the child of Shyamasundar and Malati. So Prabhupada noticed that whenever she met somebody, this little girl, she would say to him, do you know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Huh? Who is? Yeah, okay. So when Prabhupada was discussing with someone, Prabhupada was pointing out, see, She's preaching. That's all she knows, but she's giving it. Because sometimes we think, oh, first I'm going to learn everything and then I'm going to preach. No, that's not how this movement started. The early devotees, there was only a couple of books. But whatever Prabhupada taught them, they used to give it out. So if all you know is that I'm not this body, that Krishna is God, that's enough. Go out there and preach. Because preaching is the essence. All right, that's my sermon for today. Thank you very much. Everybody chant the Maha Mantra. And thank you, Monica. Monica says, very inspiring. Okay. All right, let's look at the translation. Please repeat. Arjuna said, oh, my dear Krishna, I wish to know about Prakriti, nature. I have a question here. How many Prakritis are there in general? How many classifications of Prakriti? What are the three prakritis? If you say there's three, what are they? That's not prakriti. That's the modes of prakriti. Of one of the prakritis. That's the modes of one. I give you a big hint. So what are they? Material and spiritual. Now you could have said, Mahul, you said three, right? And probably you could have said, well, the living entity is in between. He's hybrid. He's material with a material body, but he's actually spiritual. I would accept that. But generally, the answer is two prakritis, material and spiritual. Good. Let's continue. The next word, repeat. Purusha, the enjoyer. Now, I have a question for you Vedantists out there. Haribol Prem, good to see you. So, this question can be answered different ways. How many enjoyers are there? Okay, wait. Batuk says two. In the mic, Batuk, explain your hypothesis.
Soul and the super soul. The one is enjoyer and other one is super soul.
Okay. You said only one. Explain your hypothesis. So he says there's also the soul. So how would you refute his hypothesis that there's only one enjoyer? Correct. So therefore hold on. If he says both are enjoyer, you say only Krishna. So you have to now state, defeat him that the soul is not the enjoyer. How do you say the soul is not the enjoyer? You have to substantiate that. Just saying that Krishna, that's only half the answer. You have to refute him by stating how the soul is not the enjoyer, but is the... I know, you already said that. So you're with Batuk's camp. What would you say? Okay, wait. You had your hand raised first. No, Kamlesha's hand was raised first. Okay. Okay. Correct. So you and Kundan are in the same boat, yes? No. Okay. Both answers are correct. Anybody else want to chime in here before I finalize this? Anybody else? Okay. So here's how to defeat Batuk. Because you didn't defeat him. All you said was Krishna's the only enjoyer. Fine, that's like dogmatic. So the way to defeat Batuk is to stipulate, no, the soul is not the enjoyer, the soul is the servant. Nitya Krishna Das. Now, so in that sense, the servant's not the enjoyer. The servant serves the master. The master is the enjoyer of the servant's service. So that's how you establish your point. You understand? Well, let me finish this, then we can go on further. So, now, the way those of you who agree with Batuk, because he's not wrong, is that, yes, what did Hiran say? Some of you said part and parcel. Okay, so since the soul is part and parcel of Krishna, it has that enjoying principle inherent with, right? But constitutionally, the soul is servant. So, another way to explain this is, I think you were hitting on it, Mahul. The soul in material consciousness is trying to imitate who? Krishna, God, as the enjoyer. But, can the living entity actually enjoy? No. Mahul, you have come with a new avatar. This is great. So, because this is the whole problem with the material world. The living entity who is fundamentally servant is trying to be the master or the enjoyer, and he goes on like that until finally he accepts Bhagavad Gita 1866 and realizes, I'm not the enjoyer, I am the servant. Wait. Krishna Kumar, and it's his birthday anyway.
Okay, the reason of my saying that this living entity enjoyer, because he enjoys his karmas, bad or good, he enjoys also and he gets punished also. So in that sense I was saying, because even it says in, I don't know exactly what...
Yes, chapter. In Bhagavad Gita you're going to find that he enjoys or suffers. You will find, yeah.
It says that living entity enjoys and suffers the whatever karma he does.
Yes, that's in Bhagavad Gita.
And super soul, he's just watching.
Watching. Right.
I was going in that sense.
And that's why I said, both angles of vision were correct. Okay, Krishna Kumar Das? Yes, Mahul. Yes. You think you're the enjoyer, but in reality you're not. Because the soul by nature is meant to be subservient. That's why. And that's why living in the material world is an incompatible situation. Because God is so kind, He gives you various options. And again, the word I use, you think you are in. Like right now, Saturday night, there are millions of people. Where are they right now? Bars. What are they doing?
They think they're enjoying.
Thank you. You said it. They what?
They think they're enjoying.
They think that now. Do you consider that enjoyment? No, but...
For them.
Yes, Krishna allows the living entity to enjoy the effects of the modes of nature. But Another way to further elucidate this point. Our enjoyment in the material world is limited and temporary. By that alone, it shows we're not the enjoyer. And our enjoyment is dependent on somebody else granting us permission. Does Krishna have to depend on anyone? And Krishna doesn't have to do anything because by nature he's enjoying. By his nature, Sachid Ananda. Now, what happened to our Sachid? Are we Sachid Ananda? Yes.
Yes, we're part of our
Sachid. But we're still, the soul is Sachid Ananda. But how about when you have a bad day at the office? What happened to your Sachid Ananda? Okay? When the woman is giving childbirth, what happened to I don't think she's like, Haribol. So our Sachid Ananda right now is covered by this material mind and body, and we have given a different outlet for our Sachid. The whole purpose of self-realization is to come to the point of realizing, wait a second, this is not my enjoyment. My enjoyment is to serve Krishna. Now I can enjoy, but not by being the enjoyer. Prabhupada uses the example, most likely in the beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita, the introduction or preface. The woman allows herself to be enjoyed by the man, and then she becomes pregnant and has a child. Prabhupada gives that example. And the woman's enjoyment is in pleasing the husband. So Radharani and all the living entities, they are not, Radharani is not the enjoyer. Radharani sees Krishna as the enjoyer. Radharani sees herself as Krishna's maidservant. Does any maidservant consider herself the enjoyer? No, she's the servant. But by Radharani allowing herself to be Krishna's maidservant, we learn from Lord Chaitanya, she enjoys more than Krishna. So much so that Krishna wants to take her position, because even though, and this is explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna looks at Radharani and says, wait a second, I'm the enjoyer and she's enjoying more than me. How is that possible? For Krishna to understand that, he has to become Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so that he can take the position of Radharani, not as the enjoyer, because don't forget, whenever Lord Chaitanya was addressed as God, what did Lord Chaitanya do? Because he didn't want to have any conception that I'm the enjoyer. He wanted to always be in the mood, I am the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. If you live in a palace, right? So, when you're not the king, when you're a lowly servant in the palace, the king eats, the queen eats, and maybe you get a few crumbs in the back of the kitchen. You're not the enjoyer. Okay? So the servant, by definition, means not the... That's the whole idea. You're servant. All right, that was a good tangent. Was that okay? Did you all enjoy that? Let's get back to Bhagavad Gita. Yes and no. Yes and no. Because we've tackled this from different angles of vision. This is philosophy. Okay. We're in the translation. And the field.
And the field.
And the knower of the field.
And the knower of the field.
And of knowledge.
And of knowledge.
And the object of knowledge.
And the object of knowledge.
So these are Arjuna's opening questions. Bhagavad Gita is simply a series of questions and answers. So now Krishna answers. Please repeat. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead said.
This body, O son of Kunti.
This body of son of Kunti
is called the field.
Is called the field.
And one who knows this body,
and who knows this body
is called the knower of the field.
Is called the knower of the field.
All right. So before we read the purport, let's see how much you already know. So, Arjuna, where's Arjuna? Okay, Arjuna. So, Arjuna, how many knowers of the field do you think there are? Is there one, two, three, four? One. So who is that knower of the field? Oh, you say it's Krishna. Okay. So, Arjuna Prabhu, you say Krishna is the knower of the field. Okay. So, you don't know... Okay. The translation says, one who knows this body is called the knower of the field. So, you don't know your body? Arjuna? Do you know your body? But do you know it? Do you experience it? Then, do you want to change your answer? Okay. So then, how many knowers of the field or how many knowers of the body are there? The living entity... And anybody else? Because I didn't say you were wrong in your first answer. What was your first answer? Yeah, so, therefore the answer is two. The soul knows the body, and Krishna knows the body, which is going to be explained in the very next verse. All right. Let us now read the purport. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Arjuna was inquisitive about Prakriti, nature, Purusha, the enjoyer, Kshetra, the field, Kshetragya, its knower, and knowledge and the object of knowledge. When he inquired about all these, Krishna said that this body is called the field, and that one who knows this body is called the knower of the field. This body is the field of activity for the conditioned soul. The conditioned soul is entrapped in material existence, and he attempts to lord it over material nature. Notice the word attempts. And so, according to his capacity to dominate material nature, he gets a field of activity. That field of activity is the body. And what is this body? The body is made of senses. So, look at it this way. Say you have this very powerful athlete. That powerful athlete has been given a particular kind of body and set of senses which he cultivates in order to dominate that particular sport. In every sport, there is one or two athletes who dominate. And it's because they have been given a particular kind of body. Like I was explaining this last night to Mahesh Soni. Those who are Olympic swimmers, they can't be fat like me. If you notice the bodies of Olympic swimmers, very thin. They have to have that kind of a body in order to excel in the art of swimming. You're not going to see a fat person swimming. It's, forget it. So, according to the particular kind of body you have and senses, right, then as it says here, you are given a capacity to dominate material nature. All right, let's continue. The conditioned soul wants to enjoy sense gratification. And according to his capacity to enjoy sense gratification, he is offered a body or field of activity. Therefore, the body is called Kshetra, or the field of activity for the conditioned soul. Now, the person who should not identify himself with the body is called Kshetragya, the knower of the field. It is not very difficult to understand the difference between the field and its knower, the body, and the knower of the body. So let's go back a second. Prabhupada said, the person who should not identify himself with the body, Prabhupada is saying that because of what we learned in chapter 2. Oops. Right? Krishna...
It says who identifies.
Yeah, identify.
Not, you said no, don't identify.
Yeah, read the purport. Now the person who should not identify.
No, it says who identifies.
No, my book says the person who should not... Your book says identifies?
Yes.
Hold on. So let's go back. Let's make sure. Then you should have stopped me. So here's my reading says this. Therefore, the body is called Kshetra, or the field of activity for the conditioned soul.
Yes.
Next sentence. Now the person who should not. So you're saying the word not is not there?
Yeah, it says who identifies himself with the body is called Kshetragya.
So some books say... The person who should identify?
Who identifies, there's no word should there, is there.
Okay, what does your book say, Batu? What version do you have? Let me see what version you have.
What version?
Yeah, which version do you, show me the color. You have the same thing. Now the person who should not,
I think you have a different one.
Oh, the word should is not there?
Yeah.
I keep asking, is the word not there?
Word not is not there, should is not there either.
Alright, does anybody's book say should not? What version you have? Okay, what does your version say? Does it say should not? Alright, so some of the books say should not, and some of the books don't have the word should not. All right? Since there is a discrepancy, and I'm not the BBT, but the yellow version, does the yellow version say should not? That's the most recent. But we're going to go on because we'll be here all night. All right? Because I'm not the BBT. All right. So let's go on. Interesting. Any person can consider that from childhood to old age, he undergoes so many changes of body, and yet is still one person remaining. Sound familiar in chapter 2?
Yes.
Thus, there is a difference between the knower of the field of activities and the actual field of activities. A living conditioned soul can thus understand that he is different from the body. It is described in the beginning, Dehinosmin, right? Chapter 2, verse number 13. That the living entity is within the body, and that the body is changing from childhood to boyhood, and from boyhood to youth, and from youth to old age, and the person who owns the body knows that the body is changing. Anybody disagree that the body is changing? Everybody agrees, right? The body is changing. Those of us who are old, we know the body's changing. We know it every day. Okay. The owner is distinctly Kshetragya. Sometimes we think, I am happy. I am a man. I am a woman. I am a dog. I am a cat. For instance, there is a story in the Bhagavatam in the 9th canto of King Sudumna. He entered a forest, and that forest had a curse on it by Durga Mata. That forest was cursed. Any male thing that enters the forest gets turned into a female. So this King Sudumna was with his army, and when they entered the forest, all the generals, all the soldiers turned into women, and all the horses turned into female horses. But he's the king. How is the how is the country going to be ruled? So the king did a worship of Lord Shiva, and the curse was minimized. The king would be a woman 1 month, then the man the next month. So every other month, he was switching. In this way, the kingdom was ruled like that. So eventually, King Sudumna just said, what's the use? And he surrendered to Krishna, Bhagavad Gita 1866, and went back home, back to Godhead. All right, let's get on. These are the bodily designations of the knower. But the knower is different from the body. Although we may use many articles, our clothes, etc., we know that we are different from the things used. Similarly, we also understand by a little contemplation that we are different from the body. I or you or anyone else who owns the body is called Kshetrajna, the knower of the field of activities. And the body is called Kshetra, the field of activities itself. Alright? Now, Prabhupada goes to the next section. In the first six chapters of Bhagavad Gita, the knower of the body, namely the living entity, and the position by which he can understand the Supreme Lord are described. In the middle six chapters of the Bhagavad Gita, the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the relationship between the individual soul and the Supersoul in regard to devotional service are described. The superior position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the subordinate position of the individual soul are definitely defined in these chapters. The living entities are subordinate under all circumstances. Question. This sentence, the living entities are subordinate under all circumstances, does that still remain true in the spiritual world?
Yes.
Anybody say no? Good. You all get an A plus grade today. Yes, even in the spiritual world, you're still subordinate. Oh, man. You mean I can't be the supreme? Nope. Can't. Let's continue. The living entities are subordinate under all circumstances. But in their forgetfulness, they are suffering. When enlightened by pious activities, they approach the Supreme Lord in different capacities, as the distressed, those in want of money, the inquisitive, and those in search of knowledge. Where was that? What chapter? Excellent! Chapter 7, verse number 16. Very good. Yes, sir. The last one. And that's explained by Krishna in the following two verses. The wise one who is in knowledge of me is best of all. Yes. But if you can fall into any of four, you're doing good. Okay? But you, my son, I would say you fall into the last two categories. You don't need money. Are you asking Krishna for money? Maybe you were distressed. Are you distressed now? Not as much. Are you inquisitive? Are you in search of knowledge? You answered your own questions. Very good. Now, starting with the 13th chapter, how the living entity comes into contact with material nature and how he is delivered by the Supreme Lord through the different methods of fruitive activities, cultivation and knowledge, and the discharge of devotional service are explained. Although the living entity is completely different from the material body, he somehow becomes related. This is also explained. Because, I'll go over that. Although the living entity is completely different from the material body, he somehow becomes related. That's why Prabhupada teaches, originally you didn't have a material body, did you? You were in your original, pure, spiritual form. The knot in the heart is the soul's attachment to sense gratification, especially, Prabhupada explains, when a man becomes attached to woman and etc., and a woman, that's when the hard knot becomes tight. Tight. Because after that, family, friends, house, cars, position, you're in big time maya. So the whole process of Krishna consciousness is untangling that knot, becoming detached, and learning, I'm not the enjoyer, but I am the insignificant servant of Krishna. But going back to my point, although the living entity is completely different from the material body, he somehow becomes related. So there was a time when you didn't have a material body. As Prabhupada says, you were with Krishna. Somehow or other, here you are. Welcome to your body. I hope it's working for you. That's right. We want to go back to Godhead and actually be in our real, original, pure, spiritual body with Krishna. Who wants to go? All in favor, chant the Maha Mantra.
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
All right.